Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole body, spirit, and soul, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." Sanctify. Be separated and set apart and cleansed. When Jesus returns, he wants to see you ready and sanctified. And Paul's heart was, Paul wrote this letter to this church, and he just kept telling them, "I'm just overjoyed." He said, "I've been going through some stuff," but he was so happy to hear that they were still in the faith. You know, when Jesus comes, you know, you can start a road. You can start on a journey, but just because you start doesn't mean you're going to finish. Many people have intentions to go forth and to see a lot of things come to pass. How many dreams, and how many times people get these big dreams, get these big ideas, get these big visions, and they start, but somehow they never come to completion. Even in this last hour, but even in this last day, you see many people, the Bible says, for in the last days, and you need to know, see, they taught me this when I was in there, said, listen, one of the signs of the last day is going to be the falling away. It said, for many will fall away, even though the glory of God gets stronger and manifestations get heavier, yet within that, there'll be a great falling away. And Paul made it a point to go about all the world preaching and teaching, and he'd go in the city and minister because he was looking for some fruit, right? And here he had taught in this area here. He had taught to the church in Thessalonia. And he said, "You became followers." Go to chapter 1, verse 6. Actually, you can take it to 5. "Knowing, brothers, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye knew or know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, receiving the word of God with demonstrations of power, but also there was a manifestation of joy there." People get into this thing. How many seen people get into this thing and they were jumping up and down and shouting and drunk in the Holy Ghost? Then all of a sudden you look and you say, what happened? One minute they drunk in the Holy Ghost. And you never know, they could be drunk on tequila. What happened? People need to know, just because you start, you got to have a mind to finish. You got to have a desire within your heart to, somebody say, to end the race. To run all the way. See, saints got to, you can't get in this thing, you just get in and say a little prayer and then it's all over with. You got to get in and then you got to have a mindset, I'm going to run until the end. See, the old saints say, listen, I'm running for Jesus, and I'm not tired yet. I'm going to finish my race. He that endures to the end shall be saved. And remember when you first got saved, how you were always telling people about Jesus and how on fire you were? Well, a lot of people stay on fire until some of the old dead ones get to them and put their fire out. But you need to keep your first love. You need to keep your first passion, amen? You just stay on fire for the Holy Ghost. Don't get used to it. Don't get familiar with the things of God. Don't just get all comfortable in it. Run! Run with Jesus. Amen? Endure to the end. And Paul was writing this letter because Paul had saw that in his ministry. He said, I'd go through a town and there would be demonstrations of the Holy Ghost and the word would be received with joy. That means they would all jump up and down and shout when he preached the word. But he'd go back and then deceivers would come in and mess up everything. Go to chapter 2, verse 13. For this call also we thank God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That kind of goes along with what we were teaching last night. So they got there, they had a revival. Paul was right, and they received the word of God that was preached to them, and they received it as the word of God. But he wanted to make sure that the people stayed sincere, that the people didn't grow weary doing well, and that the people wouldn't stop praying, that the people wouldn't stop seeking God, that the people wouldn't stop trusting. So he had to do some things. Go on down to 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and our joy. Well, there is a work of the ministry. There's a work of the ministry to keep. You know, pastors have a responsibility. And saints have a responsibility. Some of them have a responsibility. Listen, the evangelist goes out and gets them saved. But then the pastor's got to feed them and keep them stable so they remain there until the Lord comes and not grow weary and not go cold. So he said, listen, to keep you on fire and to keep you filled and to keep you on the edge, I'm going to send a pastor to you. So down in chapter 3, verse 2, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. So he sent a worker. So he wanted them to stay in the joy and to stay in the faith and not grow weary and not give up and not become so comfortable. Something's happened in our nation and something's happened in many churches. They've allowed the enemy to creep in and allow the people to grow comfortable to where we don't know how to pray anymore. To where we don't know how to worship anymore. To where we don't know how to shout anymore. To where we don't know how to love anymore. To where our hope is gone and we don't even know what we're waiting for. We're just going to church and half the time we go to church we don't even know what we're going for. But it was Paul's heart to make sure that they stayed stable. So he sent unto them Timothy. And we know that Timothy also was the bishop. Everybody think that was a young man, but Timothy was a bishop. Do you know that? Timothy ended up being the bishop of the church of Ephesus. That was a rough church, wasn't it? He was a bishop of the church of Ephesus. So they sent old big boy Timothy to the Thessalonians. He said to establish you. See, now somebody can get you started. But it takes the Holy Ghost also to establish you. Are you established in the faith? There are a whole lot of hang around saints. A whole lot of people on the fringe of things. But you need to be established in the word. Established in the faith. Rooted and grounded and ready. What a burden. I mean, what a sad thing to see the church. Go around this city and you see churches and you can't find the Christians. You can't find the Christians. You can't find the pray. You have to choose how many churches you go to. You don't know whether the Holy Ghost is going to be there in manifestation or not, whether you go in the place. You don't even know whether they're going to love you when you walk in the place. You don't even know how many weeks you've been there before the whole thing splits apart. I mean, you can just find a church that'll stay together. That's good enough right there. More or less to go to a place where the whole house is on fire for the Holy Ghost. And the whole house is busy about the Lord's business. You hear what I'm saying? They're not tearing each other up, but they're building up the kingdom of God. How many would love to see this city moving in that grace, where the church has got itself together? Not just one church, but many churches. To where the saints are ready. There needs to come an establishment. There are too many, you know what? There are too many flakes, snowflakes flying all over the place. We need to get them together. Even if it's flakes, we need to put all the flakes together and roll them up together and at least make a snowman. Bring it together and form something. So he said, I'm going to send to you Timothy to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. And then I'm going to check it out. See, a lot of people, we need to find out whether they're still in the faith. I didn't ask you whether you were still believing, but Paul said, listen, I'm sending him to encourage your faith. And he said, I'm sending him to encourage your faith, to establish you in the faith. And we understand that our faith is our what? Our obedience to the Holy Ghost within us. You know what? If somebody came here, if Brother Hagin were to come to Nations Church, or a great man of God, or someone would come to Nations Church, and they would speak a word to us, and they want to know, what are you believing God for? What are you trying to bring about? What are you trying to allow to happen? Are y'all ready to take the city? Y'all ready to do this? Are y'all discouraged? What are you trying to do? Well, then they would come and check up on you. How you doing in the faith? How many of you had anybody come and say, how you doing in the faith? How many of you had anybody come to you and say, how is your faith today? Are you still believing God for your promises, or did you let your faith go by the wayside? Are you established in the faith? Are you ready to give up? Are you weary in doing well? And what I wanted to say is that God is, I want you to see the references to the early church, how the early church functioned, and biblical churches function, and I want you to see how the church today functions. And I want you to make a decision. And I want you to get ready, because God's ready to restore again. He's breathing life again to the body of Christ. He's giving us our truths back and putting back things the way things should be. And one of the things that God wants the church to be, wholly sanctified. And it says in chapter, we started out in chapter 5, verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved. There's a word that you've got to get in your spirit. You need to be preserved by the Holy Ghost. Jesus is coming back and you need to preserve yourself. Don't get out in the world where you'll grow weary and dry up and shrivel up, but you need to stay preserved. He'll preserve you if you want to be preserved. He'll seal you up. You need to be sealed in God's righteousness, sealed in God's holiness. Don't get outside the gate. Stay inside the kingdom. God was talking about before that many people are running outside the door. And they're going to run out one day and get locked out and not be able to get back in. But you stay in where the stuff is good. Stay in where you don't grow old. Stay in where you stay young. What's a preservative do? It slows down the death rate. It'll keep you alive. It means you got fresh and they put you in the bottle and take all the air out. You know what? That thing's not going to rot away as quickly. If I took a tomato and stuck a tomato in a bottle, in a jar, and sucked all the air out, vacuum packed that thing, that tomato would be okay. And you could still eat that thing a year later probably, right? But if you took a tomato and left the tomato on your table and left it for 6 weeks, that thing would be shriveled up, stinking, and rotten. Well, that's the problem with half the saints today, or so-called saints today. Yeah, they get saved and they start something, but they don't stay in the middle of it. They don't let the Holy Ghost preserve them. They stay on the outside. And they wonder why they shrivel up and wonder why they can't do the words of God. Wonder why they got all these funguses. What's a fungus? It means they didn't caught something from the world. They allowed something to grow on them. But if they just preserve themselves and remain holy, God's coming back for a church without spot nor wrinkle. And you got to have the ability within yourself. You got to use the Holy Ghost to do this, to keep you. You need the keeping power of God. Don't grow familiar. Don't mark yourself with other people. Just because 90% of the body of Christ is acting crazy doesn't mean you have to act crazy. Just because everybody else is sinning, that doesn't mean you have to sin. You better mark yourself by what God said and what the Holy Ghost is trying to do. Just because nobody else goes to church doesn't mean you shouldn't go to church. Because if nobody else prays doesn't mean you don't pray. Because nobody else tithe doesn't mean you don't tithe. Because nobody else is preaching the word doesn't mean you don't have to preach the word. Did you wait for everybody else to get saved before you decided to let Jesus become the Lord of your life? No. You better break free from this adulterous generation. You better break free and you better follow the Holy Ghost. And if the Holy Ghost is leading, you still got strength in your body to go forward, use it for the glory of God. Don't, you know, many people say, I got to preserve, I got to want, we call 30 days of glory. And people trying to want, listen, if God gives you strength and ability to make it, make it. Give it back to him. Don't waste that time. You don't know what's coming tomorrow. Many people think, I got to do this tomorrow, I got to do that tomorrow, I don't have time for this. You don't know what the devil's, what devil's coming your way. You don't know what opportunities come in your way. Give it back to God and store up. These are the last and evil days. How do you do it? How can I remain preserved and holy until the last day? Somebody said, well, Brother Ron, you know, that's just you. So you're a preacher, so I can understand how you're going to be somebody like that. You know, you're usually always up. You know, you're usually already ready to pray, always ready to jump on into the flow, always ready to go for God. That's just the way you are. No, we just learn to preserve ourselves. You get your priorities in order. It didn't say pastors remain preserved until the last day. Didn't say evangelists remain preserved until the last day. He was writing to the saints. And this is how you preserve yourself. And let's go to chapter 5. You're right there already. 5:16. Rejoice evermore. Write these things down. These are the things that you got to walk in. And you'll never lose your joy. The fire will never go out. Somebody said, well, it just wears out. Oh, no, it don't. I've been in it for 20 years. It don't grow cold. The fire of the Holy Ghost does not go out. It's an everlasting fire. Just because you get saved for 7 years doesn't mean you have to go dry and have to go dead. That's not true. Don't you let nobody lie to you. If they said rejoice evermore, they meant rejoice evermore. I mean, some people will tell you, listen, when you first get saved, you're all excited, then it just goes away. It don't go away. It'll stay there if you want to. Jesus said, keep the fire burning. Don't you ever let the fire go out. You know, don't ever let it go out. Rejoice evermore. When you start feeling the joy of the Lord go, there's no such thing as new convert joy. That's nowhere in the Bible. New convert joy. When you first get saved, you get new convert joy. Then it goes away because you grow up. No. That's not in the Bible anywhere. Some people just get so much they know so much. And they've allowed the oil of the Holy Ghost to leak out and they don't even know it's gone. It says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. What do you got to do? You got to stay in joy and pray. Look at somebody and say, pray. Without ceasing. These are Listen, this is what he told the church back then. He said, Jesus is coming back. And many are falling away. He in the other letter of the Bible, he was talking about two or three brothers that fell away. One verse of the Bible, one portion of the Bible, you hear him talking about this guy named Demas. That Demas was working with them. A couple books later, Demas is no longer with us. He's gone in the wrong way. And here this was a church worker. They had a couple workers in this thing. They said, don't listen to this one anymore. They didn't gone in the way of Baal. They didn't miss God. But you got to stay with it. And you'll stay with it if you have a mindset to rejoice evermore and to pray without ceasing and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What's the will of God for you? To in everything to give thanks. Also, quench not the Spirit. Don't do it. When the Holy Ghost gets, don't quench the Spirit. What do you mean, quench the Spirit? When the Holy Ghost says something, do it. I mean, the Holy Ghost convicted, you know, if the Holy Ghost is flying in the area, the Holy Ghost is moving, the Holy Ghost said, now I want to go with y'all to a different level. And I want to hit you. I want to take you up to a higher level. In order to get to that higher level, you got to walk in this light. I want you to walk this way. And when you become disobedient to the Holy Ghost and get stuck in your way, you quench the Spirit of God. Disobedience will always grieve the Spirit of God. Don't you lock in when the people of God want to go forward. Many people have grieved the Spirit of God and caused whole bodies to become affected by grieving the Holy Ghost. And people think you grieve the Holy Ghost just by shutting down a song. No. Disobedience grieves the Holy Ghost. You talking about why the song was so short grieves the Holy Ghost. You know, the Bible says do this and you don't do this. Because you got a better way. That quenches the Holy Ghost. And when you quench the Holy Ghost, what happens? You step outside of the preservative. You'll lose your joy. The Holy Ghost is there to keep you comfortable, to keep you, and to keep you. So don't quench the Holy Ghost. Another thing, despise not prophesying. Everybody say prophesy. Well, people, you know, at times people don't like to hear people prophesying. But do you know when we preach, that's a form of prophecy? When the word is preached, that's a form of prophecy. And many people step outside the body because they can't receive the preached word of God. They can't take hearing the word of God being taught, being preached, or coming at them. And they wonder why they lose their joy. And they wonder why they lose their peace. Despise not prophesying. What does that mean? Now, if God sits up there and talks to the pastor on Tuesday, I want you to teach on this next week. I want you to teach on this tonight. And that tells them to teach on something, and they go teach them. If they say what God tells them to see, let me tell you what. That's prophecy. Whether they get up there and say, thus saith the Lord thy God. If God has dealt with that individual and put something in their heart and they verbalize what God puts in their heart, that is the spirit of prophecy. Don't despise the preached word of God. You got to find out what the Holy Ghost is trying to say now. What's the Holy Ghost saying out of 30 days? Don't despise it. I'm going to tell you something else. If the Holy Ghost has got a word, you better get in there and hear it. Well, you can despise something by taking it lightly. Many people have gone dry because the Holy Ghost had something to say, but he didn't say it on Sunday morning. Some people can't hear anything unless it comes on Sunday morning. Some people can't hear anything unless it comes on Wednesday night. Or if it doesn't come on a Friday night, they can't hear. But you let it show up a different night. You let it come at an inconvenient time. And they miss what God's trying to say. When the Holy Ghost is speaking, I'm going to hear it. This ain't nobody's idea. This ain't a thing of the flesh. This is a thing of the spirit. And people wonder why they walk so feebly. And people wonder why they're sick. And they wonder why they can't overcome because they refuse to change. Amen. Despise not prophesying. And I'm hearing the Holy Ghost right now in my spirit. Holy Ghost said, I've been speaking. And some of the things that he's been speaking to us over the last several days and over the week, these are things from the very spirit of God. Amen. Don't take those things lightly. You'll give an account to every word you make idle. What's idle mean? Say, not going anywhere. Many people think idle words are just foolish words being spoken out of their mouth. An idle word could also mean Holy Ghost been trying to tell you about something to get you out of a situation. You don't do anything with that word. And you allow that word to go dormant. I mean, you've allowed that word to die out. An idle word could mean you got the anointing of the Holy Ghost in your midst. You got different people. You got Brother Copeland on television. Hey, you got a pastor that knows the Holy Ghost. It's the truth. If the pastor preached the word of God and you didn't grab a hold of it, guess what? You're going to give an account for the idle word. Despise not prophesying. Oh, God's trying to teach us how to overcome, church. We got to break free. How many of you want to break free? Oh, but so many people are holding on to the world. And they won't let go of the world. And they won't let go of their tradition. They won't let go of their tradition. They won't let go of their mindset because they don't believe that God can come through. Amen. You know, people cry out revival. They don't want a revival. They just want a bigger mess. People cry out revival. We just want more people to come to church. No, I don't. I want a new church. Amen. I want one filled with the glory and grace of God. That's not revival. That's just a bigger mess. I want a big church, but I want one filled with the presence of the Holy Ghost and the grace of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? These are some of the things that the Holy Ghost is speaking. Rejoice. He's looking for people that will rejoice evermore. I mean, not one day jump. I mean, just full of the Holy Ghost and in the joy of God. The next day offended. You can't rejoice in God when you're offended. You can't rejoice in God when you're listening to the devil. One minute you're in church jumping around shouting. The next minute you had a conversation with the devil and he didn't got you all bent out of shape. You want to be preserved holy? Rejoice evermore. And pray. You know, people don't know how to pray today. There are several ways you can pray. Number one way you pray, don't you ever get familiar. I want to show you some scriptures. And we can see how the devil has crept into many places. When we pray, let me tell you what. When we pray, you can sit there if the Holy Ghost tells you to sit there. But don't just sit there, you're too lazy to get down out of your seat. And if your knees are hurting because you kneel, lay down. God doesn't want you to be in pain. I mean, sometimes it hurts to get on your knees. It really does, and it's painful. And God, I mean, you don't have to get your prayers answered being in pain. But there is something. There is something. Look at if Paul prayed that way. Let's go to Ephesians. How many of you like learning? Turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Ephesians 3, 14. Paul said. Now, don't you think Paul knew how to pray? Didn't you think he was doing enough for God? But Paul said, therefore, he said, for this cause I do what? What does he do? I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many ways to pray. You can stand up and walk and pray. You can just sit in your chair and pray, because you should pray without ceasing. You can drive in your car and pray. But there is a time when we must bow our knees before the Lord and pray. And the Holy Ghost told me specifically, children need to see adults bow their knee and pray. And people have gotten so careless even in their prayer life. God will always be God. We hear so many people, oh, help me, Jesus. And we think that's how people pray today. Well, that's a form of prayer. But there's a deeper mode of prayer. God wants to see churches come together. At times of prayer, when not every prayer meeting has to be like that. Not every time you come. But there should be a place in every city where you can go in and the saints are there. And you can't see it anymore. You don't catch it anymore. You know, for some you can't find, especially in the more affluent cities. I wonder in the Woodlands, Texas, how many places do the saints get together in this city and bow their knee and pray? And I believe the devil, the power of the devil, the spirit of pride, and the spirit of the Antichrist. You know what the spirit of the Antichrist, it tries to be just like God and it refuses to humble itself. And I believe the spirit of the Antichrist will be broken. If we will humble ourselves, then shall we be exalted. The Bible says, if my people will what? Humble themselves. Fall on their knees and pray. Then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. We're so sophisticated in this city. We look so good when we come to church. We look so good. We're so sophisticated. We got so much class. We're in 15 minutes and out in 10. I mean, it takes you 20 minutes to walk from the parking lot to the average church, and you can get in there for 15 minutes and be gone. But every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They need to come into the house and bow their knees. Just simple things where people can come into the house of God and bow their knees and pray. And God said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and bow on their knees and seek my face, then will he heal their land. Well, that's the promise. How many got promises? How many got promises in God? What are you doing to bring those promises about? What are you doing to bring those promises about? Rejoice forevermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything gives thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. We can't make our own decisions with our life. We have to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. It's because what God speaks over your life is what he's going to judge you on. And we let so many things slide. Send them in, Lord. Send them in, Lord. But once they get in here, let them fend for it the best way they can. It's the truth. It's the truth. Expect them to hear the word. let them fend for it the best way they can. Do you know that somebody could have probably made it to the kingdom of heaven here and heard the word of life? And you think, well, what can I do to make a difference in the body of Christ? What can I do to make a difference in the kingdom of God? Help a single mother with a little baby so she can hear the word of God. We got to get beyond the point where we stop playing games. And we get serious about what God wants to do in this final day. What can we do to make a difference? Change. Everybody talking about, we need to change this, we need to change this. And everybody saying we need to change this, nobody changing. You want something to change, change yourself. I've sensed this, the strongest impression of the Holy Ghost that God wants to do something in this community. God wants to do something in this church. God wants to do something in his body. And the anointing is available and the presence of God is available. But there's a price that must be paid. And people are stepping up and starting to pay that price. Suffering. This whole, if you would read this entire book of Thessalonians all by yourself. And you will see Paul talking about his afflictions. All about his afflictions and told him, don't be troubled by my afflictions, but encouraging them. It says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. How many of you know when you got a good thing? Huh? How many of you know when you get a good thing? Do you know many people slip away and fall and mess up because they don't realize a good thing when they see one? You know, the Bible says the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And before you know it, people are casting away the Lord and throwing away the goodness of God. How can you hold on to something when you're constantly turning it up and casting it away? Do you know the anointing of God is good? What are you supposed to do to the anointing of God? What do you have to do with it? Hold on to it. Don't take it for granted. Hold on to it. If teaching is good, don't take it for granted. Hold on to it. People take this grace of God like it'll always be there. You know, I won't take it serious. I won't respect it. I won't honor it. It will always be there. Well, you know what? That's some of the plan that the world is doing. Jesus will always be there. The church will always be there. But you know that's not true. One day God's going to withdraw his spirit and it will no longer be there and it will be too late. You won't be preserved if you don't hold on to that which is good. Don't expect good to hold on to you. You hold on to good. The Bible says hold on to that which is good. And people are really stuck on, and what they're doing is they're stuck with an unbelievable passion. They're stuck on the mercy of God. Thank God. God's mercy, amen. But the individual needs to get to the point to where they want to have some stick to it ability. After a while, God's, you know, you want to walk slack, you want to walk lame, you want to walk slow, God's just going to turn you around to that. You got to have some unction within your own spirit. You got to have some fight in you. Paul said, endure to the end. Fight the good fight of faith. Hold on to it. Hold fast to that which is good. How many found a good thing dwindle because you didn't hold on to it? Had a good thing dwindle. I've seen some things that I took for granted in my life. God gave it to me by the Spirit. And when God gives us by the Spirit, we got to hold on to it and cherish that thing. Paul told one boy, he said, look, keep that thing which was imparted to you. Keep it by the Holy Ghost. Keep it. Many people lose their faith because they don't know how to keep it. Many people lose their joy because they don't know how to keep it. And the Baptists don't like hearing this, but many people lose their salvation because they don't know how to keep it. Many people lose their joy because they don't know how to keep it. Many people lose their ministry because they don't know how to keep it. You must hold fast to that which is good. And abstain from all appearance of evil. It doesn't say don't try to look evil. That's not what that says. See, a lot of people think abstain from the appearance of evil. You know, that means if something you're doing looks evil, Jerry, try not to look evil. No, that's just acting sneaky. That's not what that scripture means. Somebody said, if somebody sees you with a glass of wine, oh, abstain from the appearance of evil. No, that means if you see something and you know something is evil, and somebody acting evil, somebody acting ugly, somebody's out there, something you know is not the will of God. Evil is anything wicked and contrary to the will of God. Anything that's going to pull you out of the Spirit of God. Now, you know, if clubs, you know, clubs are evil. I wouldn't be running the clubs if you paid me. Why? Because those people that are hanging out in those clubs, they're not worshiping God. They're not going for God. They're drinking their life away. They're not heading in the direction of what God wants them to go in. They're heading in the opposite direction. They're on their way to hell and partying about it. And many people are running after people that are perishing. You know, we wonder why people lose their joy and lose their faith. Why? It's because we are to abstain from the appearance of evil. You have to look out what you hang with and ration yourself. Yes. There are certain things, you know, the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, you know a tree by the fruit it bears. If you're seeing evil fruit, abstain from that thing. Run from it. It'll cause you not to be preserved holy. I've seen so many people fall away. Why? It's because somebody else was caught up in some mess and they didn't got meddled in with it. The Bible says abstain from it. And they go caught, and before you know it, they're gone. They lost their joy and they're no longer preserved holy. How do you preserve yourself? Abstain from the appearance of evil. And guess what will happen when you do this? What will happen? And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Write down these things and practice these things. Don't go back. Do not go back. Rejoice evermore. Stay in the joy of God. Please don't stop praying. Always give thanks. Don't quench the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Don't quench the Spirit of God. Don't do anything that's going to stand in the way of what the anointing of the Holy Ghost wants to do. And don't despise prophesying. And to despise prophesying, that also means don't take it lightly. Don't take the preached word lightly or the messages of God lightly. I'm so concerned in my spirit right now just over how lightly people take the word of God. It's just amazing. But I sense the very spirit of Jesus grieved. He said, there's going to come a day when the door is going to be shut. And I hear Jesus calling people by name. And I'm just moved in my spirit right now for certain individuals. Grieved in my spirit for certain individuals that won't be preserved holy. Why? Because they don't hold on to good things. They don't keep joy. They won't pray continually and without ceasing. They're half-hearted prayers. They pray when the mood is on. They pray when they're in a spiritual, they go through these little spiritual kicks. Every 2 or 3 months, they'll go through a spiritual kick. That's not what God designed. God wants people to pray. You know, there's certain things, God, you can get to the point where, listen, God can't work with that. They won't give thanks in everything. They won't stop complaining. And they despise prophesying. And I hear Jesus say, I've been telling them, and I've been trying to help them, I've been trying to deliver the word to them. But they despise the prophesying of God. They refuse to hear. They refuse to hear. How long will I call? How long will I speak? How long will I utter my voice? today is the day that we need to give everything we've got to Jesus, all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our spirit. We need to get busy about the Lord's business.